to see all of you here tonight. We trust you've had a good day in the Lord. We had a wonderful time over with the youth, and looks like the kids had a good time. It's good to see them come in and be with us here in the services, and good to have visitors with us. I didn't get to meet you folks before church. Where are y'all from? This group.
Pine Bluff.
Pine Bluff. Oh, yeah, I see. From Pine. I recognize some of them now. Been canoeing with him. How you doing? Good to have y'all. Y'all are down here on a seniors trip? Well, thank you for coming and spending all your money down here. Supervising. Yeah, they need help, I'm sure. They need chaperones. That seniors can get themselves in trouble. If you go to jail in Osceola County, we can help you. If you go to jail in Orange County, you just have to stay a little while. Good to have you folks with us. Good to have Brother Mark and his family here with us again. All these folks from up in that area spending their money here in Orange and Osceola County. We like it. Thank you very much for coming and doing that, helping us. We need road help around here. Ecclesiastes tonight, if you would. 12. Ecclesiastes 12. One of the little girls always comes up and asks one of the bus riders, says, "Preacher, what you preaching on tonight?" And I told her tonight I'm going to preach on almonds. Her eyes got that big. I said, "Yeah, almonds. That's what we're preaching about tonight, almonds. Almonds. My wife's favorite candy bar is Almond Joy. Almond Joy. But we're going to really look at this here tonight. I got to looking at it and thinking about it and reading about it. And I guess what kind of got me going and thinking about this was one, a little boy, 7 years old, goes to school with my kids up there. Was up in Atlanta trying to get some help, cancer help. Thought he'd be able to help him up there, but it got turned bad. So they just wanted to get him back down here to Orlando so he could pass away in his house. And he actually passed away on the helicopter ride back down yesterday. So y'all pray for them. The little Jack's his name. What's his last name? Kuna. Jack Kuna. So y'all pray for the Kuna family. They are really struggling this week, I'm sure. My daughter told me out of the PE, out on the PE field, that little girl was crying about 2 weeks ago, and she stopped talking and said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "Nobody will listen. I'm not even going to tell you." And then Briley came back over a little later and tried to talk with her again, and she finally told her. She said, "I don't want my brother to die. He's my best friend." So, Lord help us. Brought back memories when my son had cancer when he was 16. And I think about little Jared, who, same age as Drew, he didn't make it. Same type cancer. He didn't make it. Boy, and all of us been touched with stuff like that. And so, just got to looking for help. And, you know, the Bible abounds with symbols. And the almond tree is used quite often by God and presents some many different striking spiritual emblems throughout the Word of God. So I just was looking at it, and you'll notice here in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse number 5, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5. Is the first thought that I found. Looking here, and it says, verse 5, "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And this here portion of Scripture, you have the almond tree mentioned, and as you read through it, you understand it's talking about in the passage there, the passing of life. It's something that's going to happen. Every one of us has faced a time where somebody that was close to us, somebody dear to us, had passed away and has gone on to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses. That is in heaven waiting for us if they're saved, of course. They're there waiting. They'll be there. We'll join them. The Bible says that there's going to be a shout from heaven, the trump of God, and We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, those that are asleep or those that are dead. And of course, the almond tree here is talking about that passing life. And as I got to thinking about little Jack, 7 years old, passed away, then others that's passed away that we've known, you know, last couple of years, we've had some that reached up into the 90s that lived quite some time, you know, the years that they have spent, and thinking about their life. And you know, you only have a short time here on earth to leave something behind. We're not taking anything with us. You forget all that. You're not, nothing in this world that we accomplish and gather up is going to go off with us beyond the works that we do for the Lord. Those things will travel on. God keeps a good record. Isn't it amazing the records that are kept in the Congress, the Congressional Library up there? I mean, there's books after books after books. And of course, in our libraries around here, little small libraries that we have, I mean, just the amount. And I think about the amount of records and information that can be found on just little bitty devices that we carry around. But they don't even amount to the records that God keeps. All the books, the Bible said, matter of fact, the Bible said that if everything that was written about just the earthly ministry of the Lord, all the books of the earth could not contain it. Listen, we got a small, short period of time on this earth. You know, some of us get a little longer, some get a little less. But whatever amount of time that is, it's very small compared to eternity. What are we going to do with the life that's it's fleeting from us? I mean, this passage on James says that our life is like a vapor. James 4:14, it says our life's like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I mean, you know, we're not promised tomorrow. So what are we going to do with our passing life? And it's something that's going to reach every one of us if the Lord tarries. Every last one of us. If the Lord tarries, we're going to go by the grave. You know, and that life is passing. And that there, passage of Scripture we read there is very evident of what is happening, what is talked about there. But then I found and started looking and searching as I was saw that almond tree there, and I just did a search on almonds and thing, and then I found over in Numbers chapter 17 another mention. Numbers chapter 17, another mention of the almond, and actually it was the almond rod found there in Numbers chapter 17. Verse number 8. Of course, this here passage of Scripture is they was trying to figure out who was supposed to be the rightful leaders. Well, it's amazing the mess that men can cause when they step over the boundaries of God. There he is. Saul would have evidently had been king a whole lot longer if he had just stayed out of God's business and just stayed in man's business and did what the king was supposed to do. But he decided he wanted to do a little sacrificing, which wasn't his job, wasn't his part. And so Numbers chapter 17, verse number 8, the Bible says here, "And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle. He had told them all, bring your rods, bring your rods. And they brought their rods, and of course Aaron's rod, there he brought it and he sat in the midst. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle to witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded," this old, just a rod, "and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds." I mean, this is what happened. This here is a picture of the grace of God and the resurrecting power of God. You and I were both dead in trespasses and sins. Every last one of us was dead, trespass, sin, but he quickened us. He made us alive. And just like this rod, here's all these rods, these 12 different rods they brought up in there, just sticks. Just this rods they'd use to move sheep from here to yonder, to help them walk, just so just dead stick. They'd whittled on, no doubt. Aaron may have even carved his name into his, this old dead stick. And when God got a hold of that thing, the Bible says here it bloomed, blossomed, brought forth flowers, and brought forth fruit, almonds. And that's what happened in our life, dear friend. Whenever we was faced with hell and God's wrath before us, we accepted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, and the resurrecting power of God came in and made us alive in Christ Jesus, and we are to put off fruit. There's supposed to be some almonds popping up out of it. Not for, you know, literally, but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. It should be there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So you have this old almond rod here that brought forth life. Look over in John chapter 12, if you would. John chapter 12, verse 24. John 12, verse 24. The Bible says here in verse 24 of John chapter 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Well, that's certainly what Jesus did. Certainly what he did. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that we'd go forth bearing our sheaves and weeping and going forth, that there we would doubtless come again gathering, what did it say? Sheaves. That's not a kernel of corn. That's not an ear of corn. That's not even one stalk of corn. That's many stalks that have been gathered up, and they would be there. And that is what Jesus Christ has done, and he will do through us. He wants to make our life representative of his life, and the gospel to go forth out of our life, because we were dead like this old rod. He's moved in, made us alive, and he desires that we die to self and be used of him. So this here almond rod in Numbers 17, 18, it kind of represents to me, maybe it don't to you, but a type of the resurrection, type of new life in Christ. Well, I'm thankful for that. Man, I'd hate to have known all these years that I'd still be on my way to hell if I was trying to work myself there. Listen, folks, I want you to think about this, dear friend. If you're sitting here tonight and you think for some reason or other you lose your salvation, that has to mean that some way or another you earned it. Think about it. If you're sitting here tonight thinking, man, if I mess up tomorrow, mess up tonight, on the way home, do something that's whatever that something is and whatever degree that is, and Lord, God's going to take my salvation away, that means you have some ability to earn it. Then you have made Bible of naught and of none effect. For by grace are you saved, that not of self, is a gift of God, lest any man should stand up and say, look at what I've done. You were a dead rod, and Christ Jesus moved in and made you alive. That's resurrection power. Look with me, if you would, a little bit over in Exodus chapter 25. We're going to move on real quick through this. You know we've got to get these bus kids back on the buses so they can get home. Half of them on spring break this week, and they good enough to come to church on spring break. Isn't that amazing? Glad to have them here. Exodus 25, verse 33. So the first one we saw there in Ecclesiastes 12:5 was a, kind of a symbol or emblem of the passing light, just that tree. It's just, that's how we are. Then you had this dead rod, which was made live again, that brought forth fruit. And it couldn't do it of its own. There's no power, I'll guarantee you this. I've met some folks that they think if an oak limb falls out of the tree, they'll put it in their barn, keep it for about 20 years. It's going to be a better oak limb. It don't happen. Just going to rot. But when God's involved, dear friend, God can make things miraculously new again in Christ Jesus. This one here in Exodus chapter 25, verse 33, I found another mention of some almond. It was an almond flour here. Verse 33, three bowls made like unto almonds with knop and a flour in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flour so in the six branches that cometh out of the candlestick. And of course, this is talking about the furnishings of the tabernacle and how it would be and how it would look. And God said here on the end of this candlestick here there would be a knop, and it'd have like an almond flower. And of course, you have a flower, dear friend. That flower is beautiful. Flowers are probably I enjoy them more than almost. I enjoy watching the flowers bloom around here. I watch all these Easter lilies that we planted over the years come up, and I don't know how the folks that do it, that run these greenhouses, get them to come up at Easter time, because ours never do it. They just come up when they want. But I enjoy watching them. I keep my eye on them, and I watch them, and then I even take some pictures of those flowers. They're kind of pretty. Probably next to deer hunting, I'd say watching some flowers is something I really enjoy. They don't even match. You know, you got deer hunting, you're out there in the woods, and then you got flower watching. But I enjoy it. I really do, because flowers are beautiful. And I was thinking about this and reading through here, and there's another scripture over in the Exodus 37. God mentions it again. It's talking about the same thing, Exodus 37, verse 19. If you flip over there, God mentions the same exact thing again. So I got to thinking about, what in the world is this? And then I read through it, Exodus 37, verse 19. Three bowls made after the fashion of the almonds, and one branch, a knop, and a flower. And three bowls made like almonds and another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were four bowls made like almonds and his knops and his flowers. And I said, man, you know what that's like when you have all these flowers, you have these flowers blooming out there. That's like a person walking a spiritual life. You know, your life is passing. Every one of us is going to die. Whether you're saved or lost, you're coming a day that you're going to die. And you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Then we that met Christ Jesus, that dead rod, we've been made alive. Now, God doesn't want it to end right there. God desires that we be the flower that produces a draw of this world to the beauty of Christ. And the only way that happens, dear friends, is we have spiritual fruit and a spiritual life within us. Because I'm telling you, dear friend, there's been a time in my life as a saved man that there was no flower blooming out of this life that you look at now. But God desires that we have flowers of beauty, spiritual beauty, not our own, so others may see the beauty of Christ. Does not the Bible say that He's the rose of Sharon? So this one here kind of reminds me the mark of a spiritual life. Boy, it's amazing whenever you see a child of God that is walking in the Spirit and putting off the heirs of Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that it is our predestination by God that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. If He's the rose of Sharon, dear friend, our life should be like a rose of Sharon, not the rose. So we'll never be Christ. But we have Christ, the hope of glory, living in us. I wonder what kind of flowers you've got blooming out your life. What's in your life that would draw somebody? It has to be something spiritual, because the Bible says there's nothing in us that is good that God has not put there. So to me, when I read this and look through this here almond, so we had the almond tree, had an almond rod. Now the Bible's talking about an almond flower. An almond flower. I believe that's your testimony. Your testimony. That flower is how you present yourself for Christ. That flower. Then I saw over in Genesis 43:11. You know, it's amazing when you start looking and searching and chasing almonds. That you never thought in 1,000 years you'd come to church tonight and be having a sermon on almonds. Almonds, Genesis 43. Here's another one. Genesis chapter 43 and verse number 11. I'm just giving you some thought, some food for thought, so you go home and chase down some almonds. Some of you are getting hungry. You're going to get you some almonds on the way home. Genesis 43:11. Okay, this is Joseph. Joseph's over there. He's the prime minister now in Egypt. You know, he was sold by his brothers, and he's there. Done went through trial after trial after trial. After every instance, the Bible records this, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now his brothers come. They've gone back, and you know, they had their, found their money, and now the dad said, hey, go back and listen what he says do. Listen what he says do. In verse number 11, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present. They need more corn now. They need more meal. Carry him a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts. Now, last time I checked, I thought an almond was a nut. But God wanted us to know that there's something else special about this almond, because in the very next thing he says, and almonds. Verse 12, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. So God mentions here almonds beyond nuts. Now, I could be wrong, but all my life I thought an almond was a nut. Brother Jim, is an almond a nut? If y'all find out later, some of you got your phones out Googling it right now. Don't want the Wikipedia looking up almonds, if it's a nut. But when I looked at this and saw this in this passage, I studied it, I started thinking about this. Listen, this was a token of usefulness that you could use for money. It had some kind of value to it. It had a service. These almonds had a service. They were taking these almonds over there to get something in exchange. I wonder how useful your life is tonight for the Lord's work. See, they're going over there to buy something to bring back to sustain life. I wonder if your life, if we were to take you and exchange you for something, would there be any value in your life to God? Now, it's kind of a trick question. Because every last one of us was dirty, rotten, filthy sinners on our way to a devil's hell, and God spent the best of the best to redeem us. So don't you ever allow this world or the devil to tell you you have no worth, because Jesus was the best offering, the only offering worthy to redeem lost man back to God. But Paul said, I'm debtor. We owe a debt that we can't pay. But Ephesians says that we are, in verse 10, chapter 2, that we are his workmanship. How useful is your life? These almonds here was going to go into get something to sustain life. Are you sustaining life? Well, preacher, I'm not an artificial, life keeper. I'm just human. But we've been told to go into all the world and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if we fail to warn, blood's on our hand. Are you useful? Are you a useful item in God's economy for the work of the Lord? Or is it strictly about you and your wants and your want to, what you want to have and what you want to do with your life? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. So we had the almond tree in Ecclesiastes 12:5. We had the almond rod in Numbers 17:8. We had the almond flour in Exodus 25:33. Now we have the almond fruit in Genesis 43:11. All right? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. The Bible says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Is your life a token of usefulness for God? Oh, preacher, I just can't. Not according to verse 8. Not according to 2 Corinthians 9, 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that He always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How's your service for the Lord? How is your service? So you like that almond fruit where Israel said to his boys, hey, give up that sack of almonds over there. Take them. We're going to trade them for something that's going to help us to live. How is your life? How is your service? Are you useful in God's economy? Now, the last one I found was in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. So we had the almond tree, the almond rod, the almond flower, the almond fruit. Now we have the almond branch, Jeremiah chapter number 1. And verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 11. The Bible says there, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see the rod of an almond tree. The rod would be, there's the tree, the rod fell off, the rod would be a branch of the tree. Then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. So what do we have going on here? I'm not going to read on the way down. You have a warning of God. God is sending a warning through the man of God, through Jeremiah, and he's saying, here's this warning. And let me tell you something. This here warning, dear friend, is coming because there's fixing to be trouble in the land. Now for us, if you go over into John chapter number 15, John chapter number 15, God has given us a warning. I know this is a warning to the nation of Israel. I just wanted to use this verse because it talked about the almond tree there and the rod there. But in John 15, for us, God has given also a warning. Verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye cannot do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into a fire, and they are burned. Just like you have this warning of God back there in Jeremiah, using the almond tree. What do you see there? I see a rod. It's off the almond tree there. I see that branch there. Here in John 15, verses 1 through 6, 1 through 7, there we have a warning for God from us. My dear friend, He is the tree. We are the branches. And if we don't abide in Christ, And we don't walk in Christ, dear friend, we're going to have much trouble in our life. We're going to have much difficulty in life. We cannot sustain ourselves. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians 9:8, all sufficiency to do all the good works we can, they come from God. And if we're not near God, we do not enjoy the fellowship with God. We do not enjoy the sufficiency of God. We do not enjoy the power of God in our life. And we cannot sustain ourselves. How do you know that? Because we cannot get ourselves from the wrath of God. It was God that saved us from the wrath of God. Acts chapter number 13 for the last one tonight. Acts chapter 13. Verse 40. Acts 13 and verse number 40. There's another warning found in Acts 13, Acts 13, verse 40. The Bible says here, "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I worked a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." There's a warning. Listen, God's still at work, dear friend. He's still at work. And God has warned us that we are to abide in Christ. And if we're not careful as a church, as a family, as individuals, dear friend, we'll let the winds and whims of this world take us, and we'll be like a double-minded man tossed to and fro. Anything that pops up, we'll just follow that. If it sounds good, feel good. It doesn't matter if it's so. If the flesh enjoys, the emotions enjoy, we just run off down there till the wind is out of our sails, dear friend. But that does not change the fact that God's Word is true and shall always be true. And if we don't abide in Him, He says they'll come along like these branches that fall off. We'll gather them up and they'll just throw them in the fire. God has warned us through Scripture. Dear friend, we got to heed Scripture. We're at a time and day and age, dear friend, that just, even in our churches, dear friend, if we're not careful, just so that we are easygoing and appealing to the community, we get away from the truths of the Word of God, and we bypass the truths. That's why, dear friend, I love so much preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Because y'all get mad at me whenever I cross something that's difficult and hard. I said, listen, you followed along with me. You should have known it was coming up next week and just skipped. Just stay home. Don't get mad at me. You got just the Bible's the Bible. It doesn't change because you are involved in that particular sin. And so every man soweth that shall he also reap. That's what the Bible says. And so there's warnings throughout Scripture. It's there. All we got to do is heed it. Abide in Christ. All that from Amos. Let's stand to our feet.